Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.
South African Matt Gardner, a dynamic singer, songwriter, and versatile musician, brings an electrifying presence to the stage, whether performing solo or with his band. Making his debut on South African Idols in 2016, he's since shared stages with notable artists like Matthew Mole and Mikasa. Matt's music, blending acoustic roots with contemporary pop and electronic production, has garnered attention nationwide with hits like Believer, Hometown Drama, and Right Wrong. With a string of accolades including representing South Africa at international events and winning the Music Award at the 2018 KZN Young Achievers Awards, he's solidifying his place as a rising star in the music scene. Up next on Celeb Savant, we've got Matt Gardner. Where in the world are you and how are you doing?
I am very well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me on today. I am currently in Pietermaritzburg in KZN. A nice little sleepy hollow an hour away from a fun place called Belito.
So is that where you live?
Yeah, I live in Pietermaritzburg at the moment, but we're looking at potentially moving up to Johannesburg or something like that next year.
Is it because more things and more opportunities are here, obviously, than in Pietermaritzburg?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of things up there. And also, I mean, like my amazing record label, David Gresham Records, is up in Joburg as well. There's a lot more shows, a lot more events happening, and I think that's just the place to be.
Okay, so now let's rewind. At what age, whether it was a child or teenager, did you feel cool? You want to be in this music creative entertainment world, and how did that journey progress to where we are today?
I've always wanted to be some form of musician slash singer slash artist slash producer since I was very, very, very young. I remember being a kid, like one of my earliest memories is singing Robbie Williams in the car with my mom, because her favorite artist is Robbie Williams. And so I remember singing since then, and I've just always enjoyed it. But funnily enough, when I was in grade ones, when I was 7 years old, I was told that I couldn't sing and I didn't have a singing voice, so I shouldn't even try. And obviously that made me want to push even harder. So it just carried on, and eventually I watched my dad playing guitar and drums, and I thought, yeah, I want to do that as well. And I've been in the professional industry since I'd about 16, when I played my first show opening for Prime Circle, which was quite scary as a 15-year-old turning 16. It was quite scary, but it was amazing.
Who told you that you didn't have a singing voice at the age of seven?
It was the choir teacher at the school I was at in grade one.
Yeah, let's just show these people. I mean, that's so rude. Like, how about being demotivating to people? You know, anyway.
Exactly. Someone is 6 years old.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I wonder if she's still teaching. And we can send her a message. Told you so. Anyway, exactly. So how did that next steps happen from you performing at 15, 16 with Primary Circle? What were the next steps after that?
After that, was just doing school shows, being involved in the choir, learning how to create, that was kind of where like my production background started, with coming up with arrangements of choir, because I was school choir captain in my matric year, and that's kind of where I learned arrangement and stuff like that. And then as I progressed, it was just then suddenly I studied engineering for a year. And then I decided to leave that and pursue music. Mm-hmm. So while I was studying engineering at Tux in Pretoria, I started playing gigs and stuff around the different venues in Pretoria and Hatfield. And I basically just, I phoned my mom and dad one day and I said, listen, guys, I can't do this. I can't be an engineer. I'm going to play music. And they were very, very, very supportive of it, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And the following year, I took a gap year. I went on to Idols for fun because my mom woke me up the one morning and she was like, listen, do you want to go and audition for Idols? And I was like, yeah, why not? Let's go, give it a go, have some fun. And I ended up getting through all the rounds. And eventually, okay, I ended up in the top 37, which was really cool. And then I studied sound engineering and music production. So I've got a qualification in sound engineering and music production. And ever since then, I've just been writing songs and playing shows and just trying to get involved as much as I can, and just working with as many people as I can, writing with people, producing with people. And it's just come so, like, when I look back to the right at the start, being told you can't sing, to like suddenly now having all these cool friends and people that I can work with and chat to about music. And it's just a crazy experience.
For the listeners who do not know, what does it mean to be a sound engineer? Even though you might not be practicing it now, but what is that term in the music world?
So sound engineer can be anything from, so in the studio, if you're an engineer in the studio, you're basically the guy who makes sure all the equipment is set up properly, the right level of stuff is coming through, there's enough of a basically just make you sound good. And then in the live setting, the sound engineer is the guy who makes you sound nice on stage. So
Okay.
he has the most important job out of all of us. He's the one who makes sure all the levels are good, puts the right amount of effects on, makes sure everything just sounds incredibly like a.
And are you just still doing that at the moment, or has that sort of taken a back seat, or did you just study it to get that knowledge?
So I studied it to get the knowledge, but I also thought at some stage in the future I do want to have like my own recording studio, because one of my dreams is to help people achieve their dreams in the music industry. So I would love to be able to record and write for so many people. So that's where the qualification kind of
Okay.
came through. I don't think I'll ever be a live engineer. I think it'll more be for studio vibes and
Okay.
working in the studio. But it's definitely helped along. I mean, with just recording my demos and stuff, I can do it in nice. I mean, it's not like a crazy setup like you're gonna get in, like with one of those like $25,000 microphones. I've got my stuff. I think it's nice. And I get nice sounding recordings out of my stuff. So I think it's definitely helped. At least if my qualification only helps me get demos at the moment, it's all good.
Yeah, I mean, it's all that background and experience and knowledge layers bricks to the foundation of being successful in whatever industry you are. It's just about diving in and getting all that knowledge. So you referenced creating music. So from 0 to 3 to 4 minutes in creating a song, what motivates it? What invigorates it? Is it easy every time? You reference that you collaborate with others. Do you always collaborate with others, or is it sometimes you're writing on your own? Let's unpack your creative process.
It's obviously different every time. It doesn't no two songs are the same, and no process is really the same. Sometimes my brain in the middle of a shower, or actually even sometimes in the middle of sleeping, if I wake up, I'll suddenly have this thought, oh, I have this vocal melody. And I've only done it a couple times where I've actually sat up and recorded what my idea was, and I wish I did it every time, because some of the ideas, when I check the next morning, I'm like, that's actually so sick. But sometimes I'll have like this vocal melody, or this just a line, or just a guitar riff, or just some piano chords. But it always starts differently. But I just love writing about my life, the things that I've experienced, trying to relate to things that my friends and family have gone through, and just basically trying to share my life through music, and telling a story and sharing feelings that I've had in my life through specific songs. And then it's not always a collaboration. Sometimes, for the first time actually, my most recent single, Satellites, that's the first time I've ever wholly written, produced, and everything myself, and that's what got released. So that's the first time that's ever happened. Normally I'm working with other guys to maybe add some production, or I'm songwriting together, and then we've both produced and all that kind of stuff. But I love, sometimes it's cool to create something on your own, and you feel really proud, but I love collaboration, and I think there's so much power through collaboration. Because if you're sitting in a room with three people, imagine you think, cool, I've got a whole song down myself, I've got that, but then two other people can also then join in and be like, oh, what if you try this?
Yeah.
Oh, but what if we add this guitar bit there, but then bring the drums up there and put this part of there? And it just turns it into something completely on another level to what you even thought was possible. Because you also just subconsciously, you have your own preference to the way you want something to be. And what you want might not necessarily be what's best for the song. And it's always nice to just learn something new and look at something from a different point of view that you weren't really expecting to look through.
So you referenced that Satellites is the first song that you solely produced, did everything yourself. So when it actually happened, was it a surprise that you did it by yourself, or was it intentional that I'm going to do this by myself?
It was intentional in a way, because most of the stuff that I do, I normally create the demos myself on the whole. So like I'll write the song, I'll produce out my version of it, and there'll be a whole version of the song done.
Okay.
And then normally then when we start choosing songs, then it's like, okay, cool. And then I'll chat to one of my mates and then they'll add stuff in or whatever. But I sent it to the label and they absolutely loved it. And I was like, yes, I'm doing something right with this one. So it didn't need any extra production, anything. Everything was just the way that we wanted it to be. And it was just a special song.
What do you enjoy about performing live?
Every single aspect. Because even if there's one person in the crowd who you resonate with and you touch their soul or their life, it's just the most special feeling. And just seeing people happy in front of me while I'm playing, and just the rush that I like, for me, one of the best feelings in the world is that moment right before I walk onto stage and I know the show's about to start, and I look at my mates, and it's just awesome.
Okay. So I've got a point of discussion around this. I'd like your perceptions. I'm that dude that's right in front. I am dancing and jamming. I'll take my cell phone out for maybe one or two songs, one or two videos. Then I put it away. I notice a lot of times these days, people are posting, tweeting, videoing 70, 80, 90% of the time sometimes. So you referenced that connection, that seeing the people in the audience resonate with the music and seeing their happiness. Do you find that the cell phones take away from that, or it's just where society is at the moment?
I think it's the way it is at the moment, but I also think it's not necessarily a bad thing to have your phones out and video, because oftentimes the idea of recording a song at a concert or whatever, it's because it's something you want to remember and something you want to watch again.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously like people like Coldplay, obviously you're going to have your favorite Coldplay songs and you'll be like, oh, I have to record this one. Like me personally, when I went to go watch Ed Sheeran a couple of years ago, he's one of my favorites ever. And I only recorded, I think, two songs out of the entire set, because I was like, those are the two that I want to remember watching those. I love those songs a lot. And the rest of the time, I just want to be in the moment, watching a thing, being present and enjoying the show for what it is, and not watching it through my phone screen whilst I'm recording the bit. But what I've noticed is every time I look up and people are recording, I just think to myself, like, it's so cool that this is a moment that you actually want to remember and have on your phone, like going and showing your friends and like, check, I saw this Matt guy playing this song. How amazing is this? And then it's just like, it's also a way for people who weren't there to get to know you and see part of the show, because then they kind of pull into the family, and then they also get a chance to get a vibe, because then they know the next time that I'm in their area,
yeah,
it's going to be, they're probably going to come to the show, okay, which is like, awesome. I think it's awesome.
Okay. I love your smile as you're talking. You're smiling. I'm just watching it. I can just feel your passion, which is amazing. I love that. I love me a CD. I love the energy exchange for that. So it's, for me, it's a saying thank you to all the hard work that you guys put in creation. I love the journey of the choice, the receiving, the unpacking, the booklet, listening from song one to whatever number. I'm not sure if you're aware, physicals on massive upsurge around the world. In the UK alone last year, 5.9 million vinyl sold, the biggest since 1990. There's a new vinyl factory that opened up in Asia a couple of months ago that's been closed for 50 years. There's a basket of goods in the UK where they gauge exchanges on, you know, in the shop levels for tax purposes. And because of the upsurge of CDs, those are back in the basket because of them climbing up again. And the research is showing that it's the teenagers, the late teens, early 20s that are diving into that world, not the older nostalgic people. But then we also have these streaming platforms that people consume music on. What are your observations of the landscape at the moment?
I think there is a massive streaming culture at the moment. I mean, I was actually speaking to my dad about this the other day, and it's just like you are paying such a small amount per month to have every single song that you could possibly want to listen to, just like at the click of a button on your phone. Just search up your favorite artist and all of that. But like you say, like, I mean, my dad used to be a DJ and he had this massive thing of CDs and stuff for his performances. Cause obviously back when he was doing it, it wasn't like USBs and it wasn't digital stuff. It was all like hand, like putting that in cause you need to play that song and you got to sync things up and all of that. So he had that. And I think like I myself personally, when my favorite artists bring out CDs and vinyls and stuff, I try to purchase one, obviously, as you say, to like show them thanks and just like to actually give them something like, you know, like I've got your body of work, like I appreciate you, but also just to have that body of work in your hands and in your collection is something so special. And that's actually what I wanted to do when I released my first album. I want to have vinyls and stuff all printed, and even if it's not a lot of them, because I know printing vinyls is very, very expensive to do, but even just to have like a limited drop, like even just like 100, so that they're like a collectible thing in the future potentially. But like I would love to have that, and I would love to also, you know, gift a body of work to the people who have made it possible, like, you know, give to my parents, then my parents have one, my fiance's parents, the guys at the record label for believing in me and pushing for me, like, you know, just having those there so that those are there, and those are like just a almost like a trophy for the achievement and for the work that's been put into those bodies of work.
What's coming up next? So you reference this body of work of an album. Is that coming up in the near future? What are the future plans?
So the plan is to release a few singles, and then try and tie them up into a body of work, into an EP, so that we've got a – so it won't be a full-length, like, 12-track album yet. It'll be probably a 5 or 6-track, just a little heart for you, just a little amazing – little package of all my thoughts and feelings and the things I want to share with the world. And I just want to gift it to everybody. Yeah. So I'm super, super excited for that.
Do you have any dates or is it all still top secret? I know in the music world, lots of things.
there's no definitive date yet. But I do have some ideas. The stuff that I've got in my head, the songs are, well, the song's onto my head. I've actually recorded a lot of the demos, obviously. Okay. I think they sound really, really good. I think they're amazing. And I can't wait for everybody to hear them.
So I love this game. I know if I had to ask you this question in 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 20 years, I know your answer will be different every time. I understand that and I recognize that. I'm not saying favorite. I'm saying top of mind. If you had to push play to 5 songs once we finish this conversation, what would those 5 songs be and by whom? And if you can't think of 5 songs, 5 Ooh. Artists.
Okay, I think let's do the artists, because the songs are like, when I listen to artists, I tend to try and listen to the bodies of work, because I like to, like on a car journey, I'll listen to an album so I can hear the story they were trying to tell.
Yeah.
So let's go. John Bellion. Love John Bellion. Let's go Ed Sheeran. Will Lindley as well. I love Will Lindley's stuff. Yeah. I think it sounds incredible. And then I'd have to say probably Queen as well. Let's do one more artist. Let's do one more artist. Have you heard of a guy called Knox?
I think K-N-O-X.
K-N-O-X, yeah.
I think I have. Where's he from again? Just remind me.
He's this young guy from the USA, and he's bringing back guitar-driven pop rock. and I love it. And then along the lines of Knox is like the band Camino. And then there's also the 1975, but now I'm just listing a bunch of my favorite
Yeah.
bands and artists. So,
That's
and then
okay.
there's also, I mean, then there's James Bay too. I absolutely love James Bay, and he is coming to South Africa next year,
Yes.
which is awesome.
Yes, absolutely.
Hoping actually to be the guy that they choose to open for him.
Well,
So,
let's put that out there. Let's put that out there. Have you
let's just throw out of the thing. We've got.
started discussing that?
Yeah, my name's thrown in the hat. I posted a
Okay.
video on
Okay.
my Instagram that my fiance wonderfully edited for me and made me look cooler than I am. James
Yes.
Bay himself saw the story, so I think that's pretty sick. And I've asked a few people that I know to put me in touch with the guys at Breakout Event.
Yes.
So they know of me and my hope to open for James Bay, and now it's just a waiting game, and we just have to hope that they pick me.
Well, let's not say hope. Let's say they will, and then we'll be cheering you on opening
Yeah,
up for James Bay.
they're gonna pick me, and then we're
Yes.
gonna have the best time next year at Mark's Park Emerentia
Absolutely.
and at Kirstenbosch National Gardens.
There we go. There we go. Let's create it and manifest it. I love that. So, Matt, the podcast is listened to throughout the world. As a final message, what would you like to say?
Anybody who has supported me so far, thank you so much for allowing me to live my dream and allowing me to do what I love every single day. It is the greatest honor, greatest blessing to be able to do it. And to anyone in the future who is going to join the Matt family, thank you so much. And I can't wait to create all the memories with everybody. And also, last message is just be kind and just share love. That's the world. The world needs kindness and love. Let's just give it to everybody. Everybody
Absolutely.
deserves it.
Celeb Savant is a career retrospective type interview focusing on singers, actors, and industry experts. Join Barrett Edelstein now as he dives into the entertainment world.